This podcast and everything that is said throughout is a joke. Do not believe anything you hear. Do not rely on any statements that are made about any legal issues. If you have any concerns or questions about a legal matter, you should speak to an attorney. You must not mistake anything said to be the truth, because any reference to the law, whether specific or in general, is often intentionally incorrect. Because, as I stated at the outset, in my very first sentence, this is all a joke. If you had just paid attention earlier, this disclaimer would already be over. But I could tell you were only half listening. So here it is one more time. This show is a joke. Now please return to your naturally dull state of mind and enjoy the office of the General Counsel. Three, two. Hello. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Office of General Counsel. I'm your host, Ed Coleman. You can call me Edward A. Coleman, Esquire. This is usually the part of the show where I say, and I'm joined, as always, by my intrepid producer or something like that, Ken Lucas. And then Ken goes, hello, or something like that. But I'm here by myself, and that's kind of weird. I'm just kind of like talking to myself and thinking about how weird it is to be, you know, alone. And, you know, am I talking to anybody? I mean, I guess I'm talking to you if you're listening. Am I talking to just one person? Am I talking to you specifically, or am I talking to like a group of you? That's interesting. I guess I always picture myself talking to a group of you. But if you're listening, you probably picture me just talking to you only. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I often kind of think I know the people who are talking, and I wonder if you think that you know me. Makes me feel kind of like very vulnerable all of a sudden. I'm kind of lonely now. Well, I guess it... Whoa!
Oh, Ted! Oh,
guys,
dude, what a great night we had.
I love Ted, but he's loud. He's
God, guys, it was so much fun. That was a great dinner.
Just the volume. Okay, inside guys. Voice, Ted.
Guys, please. Ken, how's it going, man?
Man, what a great dinner we had. I'm Presidential already... Lounge. Woo-hoo!
You guys had dinner together?
Maybe.
No, that's cool. I ate earlier, so I probably wouldn't have been able to go anyway. So, but we were starting here. We're doing a show. I actually had to start by myself. Ken, I had to do the countdown. I did it by myself successfully. So
did you do it?
I did. I did 3-2. Waited. Boom. Nailed it. You would have been proud. You listened back to this recording. I think it's on. I'm pretty sure it's on.
You
it's
look running. Like you got okay, it running cool. By yourself.
Yeah. I know enough how to, you know, I watched you do it before. I know how to do that, I guess.
Small miracle.
Well, yeah. Ted, see, I could run the, you know, Stu, I'm glad you're impressed.
Ted came back from his trip. He said you sent him to the Himalayas to do some investigating reporting, but he didn't find anything, so he came back to the States and
came
to tell Stu and I about it, and we all went out to dinner.
Yeah, it was a big case, but, you know, right after he was on the
so
plane.
So good to see you, Ed!
Good to see you too, Ted. Thank you for... I'm glad you enjoyed the Himalayas. Sorry you had to travel all that way for nothing. Like I said, I tried to call you just before you got on the plane and say, you know, it turns out we don't need you to go to the Himalayas. I found that file, and it was, you know, just on the third floor, but you were already on the plane and on your way.
I feel like you sent me on a wild goose chase. I just wanted to come back and do the show.
Ted,
I don't mean any harm. But Stu hired me.
You know, I'm really shocked that Stu, that you are not bothered more by Ted. Ted, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm just going to talk to Stu for a second. I'm surprised you're not bothered by Ted Goldman's voice. It's
infuriating. But he's a really nice guy.
He's so loud.
He's a really nice guy.
I literally can't get over how loud
he is. You just
got
to really yell, you know, impress upon him that he needs to use his inside voice.
But, Would it help if I just whisper to him? So that will that bring him down, or does that make him louder?
Gotta be, don't be so passive aggressive, man.
Okay. Well, so should I just tell him to shut up? Like,
just inside voice. I just told you inside voice.
But he never. I haven't heard him use his inside voice once.
He probably didn't hear you.
Okay. Ted, we did fly you first class, though. Was first class a nice flight, at least, back and forth? Did you see, I'm sure you saw some nice sights, so it couldn't have been a total loss.
They bumped me to coach!
Oh, that's a shame. They bumped you to... That really sucks.
Does that happen? I didn't think that you could get bumped to coach.
That's, hey, if it could happen to anybody, I'm glad it happened to Ted. Listen, did you see anything nice there? Any beautiful views, mountains?
You know, Ed, in the end of the day... I make the best of things.
That's why people like you so much, Ted. I'm beginning to see why people praise you universally. People who don't like anybody else.
I went on quite an adventure.
Okay. Ted, inside voice? I was just inside voice. You did go on quite an adventure, though. Great. What kind of adventure did you go on? I mean, were you...
I went on a treasure hunt.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. Did you find anything... valuable?
I did. Some ancient medallions.
What?
Some bricks of gold.
What?
It's amazing. I had it appraised. What? They said it's hundreds of thousands of years old.
Oh my God. And you found this stuff and you brought it home, or did you leave it where it is? Did you what happened?
I took it with me.
You brought it and you declared it at the border, I assume, you know, you
shh.
Oh no, don't talk about this. So we don't mention anything having to do with CBP, whatever it is. Cool. We never travel anywhere, even domestically, which apparently isn't allowed either. So, Ken, you got it appraised. I mean, Ted, you got it appraised. How much is it worth?
About $100 million.
Oh.
I mean,
I'm still going to work here, though.
It is in his last name.
Goldman, right. He's got a bunch of gold. Hey, man. Good for you with that gold. So I sent you on an important trip, that was not a wild goose chase, to the Himalayas.
I don't know about that. I'm no dummy.
We've established that it was important.
Ted, you're the best, and I wish you were hosting this show again.
Ted, you're...
We can make that happen.
Guys, I'm sitting right here. The show, it's in my contract, as a matter of fact. I know that I have job security. There's a lot of conditions that have to be met before Ted Goldman can officially replace me. Those hoops are pretty high to jump through. That was what I was going for there, jumping through hoops.
Wouldn't it be a high bar you have to jump over?
It could be.
And small hoops that you have to jump through?
Oh, you're saying the circumference of the hoops, if they were smaller, that's important.
That would indicate, it doesn't really matter if they're really high, right?
I guess that's true. You're still jumping. Well, you know what, though? I bet it's hard to jump through a hoop. Is it hard to jump through a hoop or over a bar?
I'm pretty sure if the hoop is big enough and close enough to the floor, you could just walk through it.
Right, but if you have a high bar that's like, let's say it's a 4-foot high bar, mm-hmm. That's going to be hard to just jump over, right?
I think you need a pole.
Or, yeah, okay, a pole, like a really long running start, some kind of parkour training, and then...
Muscles.
A couple of those would help. And so then you have a bar. I think it's easier to jump over a bar than through a hoop, even if it's in the air.
No way.
Do you think that jumping through hoops, that's the purpose of it, is saying that it's harder to do because it's tiny hoops?
I think that if they're tiny hoops, they're harder than larger hoops.
Unless you're raising the bar.
Raising the bar. Okay, so
makes it harder for you to jump over the bar.
Yeah.
Okay. In hindsight, I will stipulate that I chose a poor metaphor there.
I also think that, you know, if you're jumping over a bar, that's mm-hmm. sort of like a really kind of complicated mechanical thing that you're making your body do. Whereas if you're jumping
diving
through
hoops, a hoop,
it's just
right.
Whoa, you know, you just shoot right in there.
That's aerodynamically what your body wants to do. Whereas if you're vaulting over a bar like if you put a hoop
in front of me, I could jump through it.
You would go feet first
through the hoop.
But all the high jumpers go back first.
Through the hoop, not over the bar.
We're back to the bar.
The hoop.
I'm so confused as to... Maybe we can get like a diagram. Hold on a second. Where's my pen?
I just don't think that I know how to jump over a bar. I don't think I could do that.
Me neither.
Like, how does your body do that?
Hoops, though.
Hoop.
Hoops, you can just go head first. Like, yeah. You're diving into a pool.
I would go feet first.
I mean, I don't think you would go through feet. But I think compared to jumping over a bar, it's...
Well, how is the hoop positioned?
It's up in the air.
Is it
vertical?
Is it horizontal?
It's vertical.
Jump through it?
Oh, that's a good point. Like, is it, like, floating on the surface?
Yeah, exactly.
Of the pool?
I
never
considered...
Right into
timeout.
It?
Timeout. I never considered... And everybody, we'll get back to the show in a second. I never considered that we were jumping vertically through hoops. I thought we were jumping...
Why not? That could be kind of hard. Especially
how?
If it's, like, moving through water. You know, you might clip the edge.
Yep. There you go.
Out.
So now
maybe it's floating in air.
So the hoop is floating in air.
Sure.
Well, in water. Let's say water.
Okay.
Instead of defying physics, we'll just, you know.
Right. It's like if you're in a pool, you've tried to jump through
the inner tube.
Right. So you're saying that's what we're doing. Okay. So I actually pictured the inner tube hanging from like a rope in the air suspended and going that way.
You're complicated.
And think about it. If you catch the edge of the inner tube when you're jumping in and like, you know, you get serious friction burn there.
Totally. Yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about friction burn if you're doing a high jump.
I don't go in water. No. My body's of water. So, okay.
Neither do I.
I think it's easier to fall into a hoop than it is to jump over a bar. That's for sure, right? Because like you said, how do you make your body go over the bar?
You got long legs.
You watch it. Yeah, exactly. I have like spider legs. And so like it looks when I'm like running down, but I can't imagine doing the hurdles or anything. Like what do? You got to kick your foot up and then tuck the other one and
you jump.
I mean, every time I see somebody running the hurdles, I don't understand why they're not dying.
Yeah. Instantly. They always look like they're going to fall. It's like a helicopter. Like that. It looks like it should crash every time it
takes
off.
Like when somebody does crash, it's just like, oh, thank God. Physics is reasserting itself on the world.
So just to
be
clear.
Are we going
to
talk about the law anytime soon?
Ted, in a second.
This is really fascinating, Ted.
And by the way, Stu, I just want to say that when you enjoy when helicopters crash because it means that physics has reasserted itself.
What?
You said you're happy when they crash because.
Well, when people. Hurdles.
Oh, okay. You were talking about the hurdles.
Did I say helicopters?
I had mentioned helicopters and how they look like they shouldn't be able to fly.
Oh, I mean, this is sort of the same thing.
And then you use the word crash, which I associated more with helicopters than with hurdlers.
Use gyros.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't saying, as the CEO of Unwinnable, that you take joy in helicopters crashing.
I mean, I did not say that.
True. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. And now, Ted, yes, we can talk about the law a little bit. I actually got an Ask an Attorney. Hold on a second. That was kind of interesting. It's actually a serious question. This is like a real question. This was sent in by Kumquat69, and they ask, what is the difference between reasonable suspicion and probable cause? I mean, that's a good question, right, Ted? Wouldn't you agree?
Brilliant!
Ted, great job on your inside voice. Okay, so reasonable suspicion, probable cause. So probable cause, right? It's just the idea of if you want to get arrested or you don't want to get arrested. If you're going to be arrested or searched or whatever, they have to have probable cause to do that, which means they, have a reasonable belief that you committed some sort of crime, whatever. Reasonable suspicion is just that they have some articulable, right, notion that you might have done something wrong. And so a lot of cops use terms like furtive movements. Like, what does furtive mean? Like, that's a very vague word, very weird word. It's a word that they teach cops to say so that they can search people of color. So that's reasonable suspicion is just, having cops say the right words to search people.
Furtive.
Don't move furtive, dude. If you're out in the street, do not move furtively. Keep your arms stiffly by your side. Don't make any motions at all.
Like a suspect.
So if a police officer is approaching you, can you just sort of yell, "I'm not moving furtively," and does that negate furtive movement?
Depends on how much you move, I guess, when you say it.
If you're just standing still, they they're coming at you. I'm stopping and I'm not moving furtively, officer. Don't shoot, please.
I think if you use the word furtively to a
this
cop, would freak him out.
If I waved a white flag, would that do anything?
That doesn't mean anything in the law. That's a Supreme Court case. Waving a white flag doesn't give you any kind of immunity from being searched.
Really?
Yep.
Supreme Court, huh?
Yep, Supreme Court said that.
Isn't that like a Geneva Convention thing, though?
Oh, you're talking about like in war.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you try that and say like I'm waving with the white flag with a cop, they're still going to get you. They're still going to arrest you.
But we have our own security force here at Unwinnable.
Yeah, and there is no degree. It doesn't matter if they want to search you. They can just do that. There is no, it's a zero tolerance policy here.
It's in your contracts.
Yeah. Like stop and frisk is like a polite, we wish we had stop and frisk here. Like sometimes you're walking down the hallways and all of a sudden somebody actually descends upon you from the ceiling. Like they're in a position above, they drop on, and then they tackle you to the ground. They just start going through your pockets and everything. And if you have something on you that's not allowed by the company, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So police officer walking by your house.
Mm-hmm.
Hear screams coming from your basement.
Yep.
Probable cause or reasonable suspicion?
That's certainly, well, screams coming from a basement?
Yeah.
That is probable cause that you believe a crime is being committed. Yeah, totally. They can come into your house.
Cop walks down the street.
I don't know.
Runs into your annoying next door neighbor who says, I heard screams coming from that basement. Probable cause or reasonable suspicion?
That's a great question. That is a great question, and I'll refer to you to
reasonable suspicion.
Ted, please.
I'm a real lawyer.
Ted. There is no way you have ever spoken in a courtroom and people were okay with what was happening. There's no way that you just ever had.
Passed the bar in six states.
And six Luxembourg. States.
Luxembourg? Really?
Which I guess is sort of a state, but mostly a city.
It's mostly, yeah, but it's technically a country, right?
Yeah, well, he hangs out with Stanley Spiemer sometime. You remember him?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we should make this a tradition. Hello, Stanley. Stanley, I know that you're looking.
He's watching right now.
Yep, Stanley
hey,
Spiemer.
Hey, Stanley, I see you.
Yep. Oh, hold on a second. I got something in the old pneumatic tube here. Let's see what it says. Okay. My name is Spiemer. Spiemer. Okay. Sorry, we keep calling you Stanley Spiemer. We know that your name is Spiemer. Jeez, these pneumatic tubes are astoundingly fast. Stu, turbocharge the, I guess, the pneumaticism of them or something, right? And people question, why would you spend that money? And you said, because it'll make it instant.
And pneumatic tubes are awesome.
It's efficient. Oh.
Cool.
People are actually studying, like, in China, like scientists are studying these pneumatic tubes for faster bullet train things in Japan, and like you know countries where they realize that this kind of stuff is helpful to have in your country.
Yeah, fuck that Musk guy.
Huh?
Huh? Nothing.
Yep. So, your last question, I don't remember what it was about reasonable. Well, who cares? Listen, guys, don't have anybody screaming in your basement. That's just don't do that.
So you're saying more soundproofing?
Hey.
That basement is so sub-level, though.
Well, I mean, it does still have a window.
Guys, we're talking about a specific basement now? Or we're just the hypothetical basement?
No, it's just a hypothetical basement.
Hypothetically.
But you think it's helpful? It is helpful to give specifics to, like...
Yeah, what if the basement was so deep?
Mm-hmm.
But yet still has a window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we answered your question.
Was it my question?
I know it wasn't your question.
You keep looking at me.
Do you do this all the time?
What's that?
Answer questions like this. This was kind of fun.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. You know, it's when we get them. The thing is, listen, as you know, people are. It's still a growing
trying to get
podcast.
Ed's promotion skills up.
Guys, I'm trying my best. But today I tweeted out, anybody have a question? And I got a question. So there. So how about that? I don't remember what the name of the person was that asked this question. I had it written down here somewhere.
Kumquat 69.
Thank you. Kumquat.
Some host.
69. Great. Hey, great name. Unfortunately, an egg avatar. It's our first egg avatar.
Oh.
So that's disappointing. With a name like Kumquat 69, you think there'd be a quality avatar there, but.
Or a porn star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is a kumquat anyway?
Like an orange.
Like a.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Tangerine?
I pictured it like more of a melon. I have
like
no
a tiny
idea.
Tangerine.
I was figuring more like the exotic fruit, like a mango kind of thing.
You pictured it tiny? I pictured a kumquat being like a...
I'm going to look it up on the Punch computer. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're thinking big. He's thinking little.
Yeah. I'm thinking sizable, like at least a volleyball or something, you know? Like, something
I was thinking
like that.
Like spines.
Oh, weird. Huh. Huh.
What do we got? Huh. That is a remarkably dirty photo of a kumquat that you're.
I don't even know why she's in the photo. No. It makes no sense. She doesn't need to be there. It's really.
That's God. That's God, horrible.
Jesus.
Well, whatever it is, I never want to eat that. Jeez, put it away, Ken.
I hope it's chocolate. Whatever. Let's. They're small. The answer is they're small.
They are small. They're small. I hope to God they're small.
Yeah. And the things I'm trying to think of things to compare to size wise, and the only things I could think of were what I saw in the pictures, and I don't want to talk about that. So
yeah, no.
I want to keep it clean.
Guess you haven't been to Tacos and Tacos lately.
No, although I heard that you've been by there quite a few times.
Oh, you know, yeah. It's convenient, and they have really good Mexican food.
Great Mexican food, so good.
Good mole sauce.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah, we'll be back. I think we're just going to keep doing this because I was left alone. There's no guess. The whole thing's a disaster. But it's going well, actually. We're having a good time.
You don't even like steak.
Who doesn't like steak?
You.
No, I don't care for it that much. I mean, I like it, but...
So relax.
Okay.
We'll be back after this message from our sponsors.
Bespoke licorice, handmade artisan licorice, combining a wide variety of pretentious flavors, pomegranate and kale, endive and butternut squash, velvet and wax, honeysuckle and mahi-mahi. I can almost taste the mahi-mahi. The ingredients are lovingly introduced to a large vintage copper vat and hand-stirred by men with handlebar mustaches and women with tattoos of narwhals. A delicious and responsible treat that's guaranteed to make you feel better than everyone else around you. Bespoke licorice. Hi, welcome back. Welcome back to the show, Office of the General Counsel. Here we all are. It's a kind of a weird episode. I'm sure you'll agree from the if you've listened from the first half. If you're just
I feel like we're all getting along.
We are all getting along. That's a good point.
I mean, Stu, Ted, and I always get along.
Yeah, you guys seem to be having a good time when you burst in late to the show and leaving me here all by myself. And I actually was kind of sad there for a second. I'm glad you guys are around. It's been a really good time.
I mean, in fairness. We're surprised that you're here.
In my office?
Yeah, I mean, you're barely here, so we figured.
Listen, I have a lot of things going on, and
just kind of come in here and make a mess and blame it on you.
Yeah. By the way, please don't do that anymore because I have a lot of. I keep getting all these notes from janitorial. they are up on it with me, complaining about everything.
Yeah, Sean's allergic to work.
He's not allergic to notes.
And shellfish.
Oh, actually, I should make a note of
and
what
maybe mustard.
Just for future reference,
and dill pickles.
The janitor is allergic.
I think a guy with dill in his name would like dill.
Seriously,
dill. All right, you know what? I'll listen back and get the rest of it. Dill, I heard that, so he's allergic. Okay, great. Yeah, I haven't been around a lot lately. That's true. And, you know, that's just the thing that happens when you're an attorney. There's a lot going on. You got to be in court. Recently, I had to argue an appellate case. We were.
Yeah, did we win that yet?
Well, we haven't got the decision yet, but I feel good about it. Listen, guys, you recall last year there was a trial. There was a person who was a protester who was protesting against Unwinnable, and he didn't like the it's ridiculous to suggest that corporate America has anything but everybody's best interests is silly.
To lump us in with corporate America.
Right. We are above and beyond. You know, it's just A-plus number one all the time, unwinnable. And so he was protesting, and that was fine. You know, protesting is a First Amendment right. You know, we all know that. You don't have to be an attorney to know that. Boo. So, but then he trespassed by climbing over the wall and circumventing some of the other obstacles. But then he set off a series of traps, and he had the nerve to sue us, and because he was grotesquely injured. But, you know, that's the nature of traps.
I'm not sure I agree with the characterization of traps.
They are deterrents. I mean, I know that they're officially referred to...
I mean, trap implies that we wanted to keep him. And I don't think we wanted to keep him.
Oh, that's a good point. This is just... It's an obstacle slash deterrent meant to sort of just say
security
like...
Security measure.
Yeah, security measure.
It's a passive-aggressive way to say, like, stay over there.
Yeah,
you know, like,
well,
no.
I don't think it's really passive.
Some of the hidden natures of some of them make it a little passive.
Sure,
but
blade arm is pretty out there.
Oh, yeah, certainly that.
Tiger trap.
The tiger trap, you can hear the growling from, like, quite a bit away. They're always hungry.
You can smell the corpses, too.
Yeah, the aroma kind of, like, the entire perimeter. Pit. You don't even have to get inside the wall to smell that, you know. Anyway, okay, so we're getting off track. The guy sued us because he was, like, I just remember the picture just now and almost threw up in my mouth. He was very injured. Anyway, he sued us, and he was wrong, and we countersued him, and we won. He lost his dumb lawsuit, and we won, and he had to pay. He was ordered to pay us a bunch of money for the cost of resetting these traps.
How much?
Well, under the terms, we don't want to disclose. It was a public judgment. Fuck it. You should look at. Oh, my God. Cursed. God damn it. I got so close to the end of the show without cursing.
That's two, actually.
Was it the second one?
Well, no. You God damn it kind of counts.
Oh, really? For explicit purposes on, like, iTunes and whatnot?
I don't know. Does it?
Probably.
It is technically a profanity. It's like the definition.
Sure, I guess so. If you want to go by biblical
terms. It's illegal in these walls.
Okay. Either way, it's no longer an explicit episode. I lose the bonus I could have gotten for this episode. Whatever. Back to my point. So the judgment was for $3.7 million. It's expensive to read. That glade arm has to be... It's a master who created it. And he came over from Europe, and he placed it, and he has to readjust it every time. So you have to reset these security measures very specifically, and it costs money. And you came in, and you set them all off despite saying not to come in and all that.
Oh, so we're asking for the 3.7.
We won the 3.7 at trial.
Excellent.
But he appealed.
See, I thought he was after money. We sued him.
Well, he sued us for being severely injured.
Okay.
Like, I cannot describe.
Did he win that?
No.
Well, I was going to say, if he won $3.7 million,
no,
he's going to be really that injured.
Seriously. No, guys.
Old brick and jerk.
This is my point.
He could walk again.
We were successful in the trial because people recognized that he should never have come into this premises to begin with. He was fine when he was protesting outside, but once he climbed over those walls, and once he went under all of that razor wire, and after he, kind of swam through... Listen, there are hammerhead sharks that one is still not accounted for, and we want to pin it on him, but we have no evidence. We're not unreasonable. Anyway, he set off a series of these security measures, was unspeakably damaged.
So after the traps were reset, what did we get from it? How much money we got?
Well, he doesn't have a lot of money. So we're going to just garnish his wages and really make his life terrible because, you know, that's a responsible thing to do.
What's he do for a living?
He is a professional paid protester, is my understanding.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a conspiracy theory.
Listen, this is what I've been told by certain people that work in Unwinnable. They have information that's our official position, is that he's a paid protester.
I mean, I suppose it makes sense. There's only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's like when there's like 500 people, you're like, they can't all possibly be paid.
Of course not. Oh, you get over like five, I feel like they can't all be paid, but it gets expensive. But one guy...
I'm not going to pay five guys to do anything, honestly.
My theory is actually that there's somebody paying him who was from inside Unwinnable.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a theory I have, kind of a hunch. kind of known for my hunches.
Does his first name begin with E?
No, it does not begin with E if you're suggesting that I was ever going to be the mole. Listen, I have... My point is, guys...
Asperger's.
What?
Guess my middle
name.
He's
trying to guess my middle name. That's the only one you get, though, Ken. You don't get to make another one.
Alucard.
Okay, hold on. Asperger's.
Ant Hill.
Alucard. No, Ant Hill.
Hey, Goldman, what do you got?
Yeah, come on. Ted, you haven't even been saying much, which is a surprise. Well, thankfully. Give me one guess for my middle name begins with letter A.
Atrocious.
Good one, but no, atrocious. Although.
I think he's talking about your skill as a lawyer.
I won four cases this week.
Oh, ho, ho, everybody. Great. Have everybody have
fun. I won four cases this week.
You won four cases this week.
Yep.
You know what, Ted? Good for you. I'm glad. You deserved it. I'm sure you worked hard to do it. And I'm,
I rack them up every week. That's why my bonus is so big.
Oh, you have a big bonus, do you? Interesting. You have a big bonus, do you? I don't want to say that. That's not a thing I should have said, right? That was, that
there's a lot,
right.
a lot of jokes I was going to make, and then I thought, nope. No, I'm the head of a very big corporation.
We don't need
want to be on tape making any of those.
And also, all those jokes would have been sort of bad. It was... Big bonus. What a mean is a big bonus you have.
I mean, you know what?
That could actually be a pretty good bumper sticker.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. What a big bonus you have.
That's a big bonus you have. What a big
I'd
bonus.
Be honored.
Ed wishes he had a really big bonus.
I pray to God every day. Guys, and speaking of which, you know, subscribe to the podcast for God's sakes. Tell your friends about it. Every once in a while, hit me up on Twitter. I literally talk to the same three people every week until some random ding-dong from out of nowhere comes and says, hey, my name's, Tug My Jimmy 69, whatever, and I'm just like, okay, but it's few and far in between that new people are contacting me, so please do that. Listen, come on. My bonus is on the line. Ted Goldman is making a bonus.
Well, he's a performer.
So wait. We have a mole?
I think we have a mole, and I wanted to talk to you about this. I'm glad this came up because I want to talk. I think that there's a mole here. I think that the plaintiff in that case was put up to it by somebody within Unwinnable.
Bah, bah, bah.
That's good. Stuff. Oh, sorry. That's
thanks.
Yeah, that was dramatic. I would have. I was.
Everyone
gonna...
could have seen the look on your face. It was pretty.
Yeah, I was actually too shocked to even react. It's a shame that Stu was here because it would have been awesome if when I said
so we're
going
to go from like a legal podcast to like a how to solve a murder
or like a Perry Mason episode.
Well,
Perry Mason, I like that.
Listen, I've
Columbo.
This might also make you proud. I've read my contract and I've also read some pertinent sections of the employee handbook. Stu, you have to appoint a special prosecutor, basically, to investigate something like this, and I'm asking you to...
Ted Goldman, you've got the job.
And I want to be Ted Goldman's co-investigator on this.
Stu,
I think I can
thank
bring...
Thank you so much. I'm so honored.
If anybody can do it, I know that you can, Ted.
Stu, if I could just want to interject here, it's my hunch who came up with it. You know, it's my...
That's why you need to recuse yourself.
No, I really think I'm going to be a valuable asset to this investigation. Just let me... Ted, do you want me to help at all? I can... my office is...
I'll consider it, Ed, but I have a pretty big staff already.
I mean, could I submit some sort
we
of...
We have so many lawyers on staff. They're
Ted,
all so smart.
Ted, I'm just asking for... You're outside counsel. You're not really... I'm looking for... You need
well,
somebody that...
Ed, send my secretary your portfolio of cases, and I'll look it over.
Oh, boy. This was my big idea. Well,
Stu, you picked the right man for the job. I will get to the bottom of this.
Good. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a wonderful episode, everybody.
Maybe we should go to the pub.
Huh?
The pub downstairs?
Sure.
In the north-southwest lobby?
All right.
That'd be great. That'd be cool. I would do that.
Does your key get you in there?
Aren't you still working?
You need to pass.
I mean, I do have some stuff I was going to do, but we could just, you know, give me, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
You and, have the holo pass?
No, nah, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, no, we celebrate Ted's case.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, the first round's on me.
Yeah, we'll get started. We'll pick up some paperwork, you know, some folders or briefs or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
you guys
I heard
do,
Corporate Casual might we'll be playing there tonight.
You know, I did have a bunch of files over there that I pulled to start working on the case. If you want to take those, Ted, I don't know, those might be helpful.
Thanks, Ed. Let me grab them.
Okay, but yeah, you don't have to. You don't. Oh God, they're all wet now. Somehow, what is it? What's on your hand? All right, you know what? Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We're just going to wrap this show up. It's run a little on the long side, to be honest.
Man, I could go for some ice cream.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Ice cream's good.
Got to find Barbara we had floor six.
Guys.
She does the ice cream order.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys can go wherever you want to go as soon as I wrap this up. Let me finish the show, please, everybody. Thank you for listening. Make sure you...
aggro.
Thank you. Thank you.
It helps get the demons out.
It did feel good. Let's all do it once.
No.
Ken, do it.
Nope.
Okay. Fuck it.
3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to Office of the General Counsel. My name is Ed Coleman. You call me Edward Coleman, Esquire. This is Ken Lucas. Stu's been here. Ted Goldman's here also. Make sure you subscribe to Unwinnable Monthly. Visit unwinnable.com all the time. It's a great site. Wonderful stuff. The monthly is
delightful.
Reconfigured and is freaking crazy now. It's twice the impact for whatever. I don't know. Subscribe and check it out. So. On behalf of myself and Ken, thank you listening, everybody. Tweet at me at
everybody. Tweet at
Unwinnable OOTGC.
Yeah, all of us.
Probably use the hashtags.
Yeah, all day long. I have to. I'm trying to tweet to people.
Share his.
I tweet
his
at people
tweets.
All day long, and nobody
hashtag
me back.
Mediocre lawyer.
Hashtag mediocre lawyer. That's a great one. Let's get it going. I just want to be anything that attached to me.
Hashtag
great.
Subpar.
Subpar. Less mediocre's got too many characters. Subpar. What if we did subpar ATTY for a short abbreviated attorney? Subpar ATTY.
Hashtag BBTG. Bring back Ted Goldman.
That's a good one.
Bye-bye!